Shooters, as always, thank you for all your support, everything we do over here at Shooters Touch. We really appreciate the support here on the last mini-series that we just did with 505. The reception was great. We appreciate you guys listening and taking some time, and your feedback is always welcome with that. We also ask that you stay on the lookout here as the holiday season is coming up. Might have some merchandise coming your way, so stay with our social media channels and follow that as we get there. We also want to give a big shout-out to all of our high school programs here. Now in full swing, practice starting, can't wait for those games. And so we're ready to see what this basketball season is going to bring. We're here to support you. If there's anything we can do to help you or your programs, certainly let us know. And as always, Shooters shoot.
I got Shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, and to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the same
with it. I travel now, y'all just change, pivot. Welcome back to another episode of the Shooter's Touch. This week, we bring on the former head basketball coach at Indiana State University, Greg Lansing. Before we get into Greg's episode, I want to say we appreciate all of our listeners, and it helps us out so much if you give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you catch your podcasts. Again, we appreciate you and we appreciate that. Now, Greg and myself, we first connected when I was in high school, and he was assistant at the University of Iowa, but haven't talked much since, so it was awesome to talk to him again, hear his story, growing up in Harlan, and playing basketball at South Dakota, and then really, as he mentioned several times, climbing the coaching ladder with every rung, from a GA to assistant coach, even spending some time as a head high school coach here at Roosevelt in Des Moines. Like I said, Greg has a great story, great guy. We know he's not coaching this year, which, as he mentions in the episode, is very tough on him, but he'll be out there soon. We know, we can tell from his passion for the game and his passion for coaching. So here he is, Greg Lansing. Well, Coach Lansing, welcome to the Shooter's Touch.
Thanks a lot for having me on there.
We're excited to have you. We're talking a little off air. Looks a little warmer where you're at. So where do you reside? What do you call home now, Coach?
Yeah, my contract was up on March 31st. And by the end of April, we had moved to my wife had a place in Scottsdale. So we moved down here to Scottsdale. And it's crazy to think it's over 6 months since my contract ended. So we're just enjoying life. And this is a place we both love. And she's still working while I kind of try to figure out what my next adventure is going to be. But she's been encouraging me to take the whole year off and just kind of refresh and regroup and see what I want to do next.
You getting any golfing in that window?
Oh,
there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've had Iowa friends, Terre Haute friends, friends, former teammates from college. And it's the nice thing about this place is people are always trying to visit. So our social calendar is plenty full.
Yeah. And it's, I guess something to say that, after having this much experience, having that year off might be a good thing, but probably a little bit tough, having that much experience and maybe not having this long a time off.
Yeah. Adam, I was really good. And cause we love it here and it's just a great quality of life. And I'd been in Terre Haute, which is a community I love as much as me to say as much as I'm from Iowa. I got to take pride in that. And Terre Haute will always be home. And we got so many good friends. I miss the team. And that's when it kind of hit me when games started last Tuesday is watching Jake LaRavia play Cam Baco, watching Trey Williams at Duquesne, and then watching the Sycamores. And I hold no ill will against the new guy at Indiana State. I'm a big fan, and I'm going to be a big fan and support that those guys, Coach Schertz and that team. But it has been a lot different in this last week.
Yep, I can't imagine. Can't imagine. But, well, hey, let's do this, Coach. Obviously, as you mentioned, from Iowa, our research team tells us born in Mount Pleasant. What was childhood like? You know, we like to talk about, you know, the neighborhood games that you would play with neighbors and stuff like that. So what was like growing up early on in Mount Pleasant?
Yeah, I was actually born in Ainsworth. Dad was a coach at Hylam. I don't even know if that's a school anymore. But, yeah, in Mount Pleasant till fourth grade. And, you know, Dad had went to the state tournament with Mount Pleasant Panthers in 76, and he had saw – kind of in the younger grades that they might not have the teams that could get many wins and much success. So we moved out to Harlan, and that's where I went to high school. But, you know, my whole youth is going to practice, going to games. I learned real quick that losing is not okay from my mom as well as my dad. You know, that was – and I learned a tremendous work ethic. You know, Dad was old school from the start. He was in the basement watching film and doing X's and O's every night. And so I had a great teacher in that. Mom didn't become a nurse until, we were all 10, 12 around in there. So mom busted her butt being a mom. Then she became a nurse. So I was raised right by two hardworking people, an older brother and younger sister. And it's pretty good, pretty fun growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned Dad was coach. Was he a girls boys coach?
Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame now, Adam. He's actually, we're one of, I don't know if it's 10, 11, 12 father son combos that are in the Hall of Fame. Dad's always, he coached high school boys and he coached little girls golf just so he could get to get out of school early and play golf. So,
play golf. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a lot of that. And, he never wanted to be, he could have been athletic director numerous times, but he always had my games, my brother's games like that. So he never really wanted to do it because he'd had to shortchange the school's other events.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So growing up coach's kid, you know, we did something very, very similar to that. And, you know, we know the benefits of that and maybe some of, maybe even some of the negatives, you know, being at the gym all the time, as practice goes, and then, you know, having a parent that's, you know, around basketball all the time. But was basketball your main focus at all times, or what was the athletics look like on your end?
Well, you know, much like you, you know, and I played in Harlan, you know, in Harlan. I think they're gonna win another state championship here, and I was a football quarterback, all state, and played basketball and pitched in baseball. So because Dad was a basketball coach there. And he was a tough dude, and Coach P.E., I had to kind of tread water a little bit. You know, a lot of my buddies and other kids in the school didn't really like Dad or having him for class because he was so hard, and he just did stuff the right way. But he always encouraged me to play other sports, played other sports, had opportunities to go college or even a professional baseball, and just always wanted to play basketball. That's what I did.
Awesome. Hey, we like to ask this question too. And, you know, we'll get into your coaching career here in a couple minutes, but what are your thoughts as a college basketball coach? You know, was that something that you, you know, when you're recruiting these kids, is that something you kind of looked for, a multi-sport athlete?
Was never a negative. I promise you that. And you know, in the AU generation that we're in now, and social media, it's crazy. Most kids don't do it now. You'll get some in Indiana, not many. I still probably think there's a lot in Iowa that do make one, two, doubtful three, like we used to do back in the old days. But it's really hard to do that now because basketball's year round, football's year round, baseball's year round, and everybody wants to get recruited and go play college. So it's a little different.
Yeah. I mean, we say, yeah, obviously we can talk injuries and stuff like that, you know, all those other muscles that you're using, you know, for example, playing basketball, playing football, even playing, you know, on the baseball field, you know, I think we see the benefit of it. You know, if we think it's kind of trending, potentially the wrong way of, you know, these kids, whether it be basketball, whether it be, you know, with baseball, soccer, whatever, you know, only concentrate on one sport because they think that's all they have time for. And they think that's the best way to get a Division I scholarship because that's all that matters at that time.
Yeah. You know, and I got both sides of it. You know, I loved Friday nights playing football. I loved having the ball pitching, you know, having the game in my hands a lot just by what I did as a pitcher, touching the ball every play. Well, in football, the game before state championship game, my senior year, big lineman for the other team fell on my foot and crushed my arch. So there went my Division I scholarships. I couldn't go to my toes. I had to wear steel plate in my shoe my entire senior basketball season. And I just wasn't athletic enough or wasn't quick enough after that. And I understood it. But I loved it, but maybe it cost me Division I. But I certainly wouldn't change going to the University of South Dakota and experiencing what I did there.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, well, let's maybe talk about that. So if we can slide back maybe a couple of years, what was the recruiting process like? You mentioned, obviously, you know, smaller community at Harlan, you know, playing multiple sports like Brian and myself did. You know, here what I'm looking at here, you know, you were very good at those sports. So what was the recruiting process like? Maybe not only in basketball, you know, but with those other sports too.
Well, I was recruited at a Division I level in all those, but our football coach, when they come in and see the football coach, he'd say he's going to play basketball. And baseball, as much as I think about a lot, what if I'd have done that? You know, because the money and being a baseball pitcher is crazy. I ended up playing Division II basketball after crushing my foot, your Drakes and your Iowa States and the other people that were recruiting me. It boiled down to Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, and University of South Dakota Division II. And I felt like I had enough discipline with my dad for 18 years. So I didn't go into the academy and went to University of South Dakota and played basketball there, got my master's there. And lifelong friends from that place. So I'm very, very grateful. And I always say that things work out for a reason. And they did for me.
Yep. Was there ever a decision? Well, I'm sure there was a decision on if you were going to play baseball, if you're going to play football, or was it, you know, just in the back of your mind, I'm going to play basketball.
Never serious, Adam, you know, and, when they talked about playing professionally, the money then wasn't near what it is now. You know, I couldn't have got my college paid for if I would have got hurt. So it was really much just playing basketball. And when I took I'd visited Naval Academy, I visited Air Force Academy, and two unbelievable institutions there that I was honored just to be recruited by. Mm-hmm. But I went to the University of South Dakota and very pleased that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I've been up there multiple times. Great location. You know, the campus is great. And, athletics definitely are big, are big in South Dakota for sure. So that always helps too. What about, when you got up there, we like to, the question we like to ask is what was the biggest transition from high school to college basketball?
Oh, I think one thing about where, you know, you're in the Uni Dome. We're in the Dakota Dome.
Yeah.
So every day for workouts, I had to walk across that football turf to go do our basketball workouts. And those football coaches, you know, they knew I was there going to play basketball. And there I was, you know, come on, just help us out today. Come on over here and throw a few today. So a lot of it was different. And not be having football practice every day and doing those things and just locking in on a college basketball. And when I got there, USD wasn't very good. And I loved our juniors and seniors. They were good guys, but they just weren't committed to the program and being a winner. And when we got Dave Boots in there as a head coach my junior year, that whole thing changed. And it was a winning, you know, you're coming from a Northern Iowa. I'm from an Indiana State. The types of programs that we run there, it's a winning institution, and that's what it turned into.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of the, especially college, you know, smaller colleges, especially, you know, you talk about high school as well, that, you know, those junior seniors are so big in those programs. Yeah. And the, you know, they are freshmen, sophomores look up to them so much more than I think they know. And having a good and, you know, stable upper classmen helps out so much.
Yeah, it really is. And those guys were good guys. It just wasn't the culture that was about winning that it changed. The culture that Coach Jake has there at Northern Iowa, it's, you come in there, it's about business and working and winning and being a great teammate. And it's certainly turned into that when Coach Coot, I played with two guys that are in the Hall of Fame up there. And one still, you know, it was a Division II conference. Now all those schools are Division I, but two of the guys I played with, one's the all-time leading scorer and one's the eighth all-time leading scorer. So we got it going.
Yeah, had some scores, which we always like to hear. But you know, I'm looking here, you know, at some of the aspects of your time up there as well. And you know, obviously, sounds like you had some scoring up there, but you were more on the defensive end, huh?
Yeah. You know, it was something that maybe I didn't think about as much in high school, but when I got up there, I wanted to play. You know, and I was with these guys that were getting buckets and. I went back and forth from point guard to off guard, and my roommate was one of those guys in the top 10 scoring, Mike Grace from Helan and Tim Hatchett. And I just wanted to play. I wanted to find a way and do whatever it took to help those guys. And we turned it around and got in the NCAA tournament and won a conference tournament championship. So we got it turned around, and it was a special time for sure.
Yeah, when I say that you were more on the defensive end, you know, we're talking the best defensive best defensive player in the conference your senior year. So yeah, definitely found a way to get on the court.
Well, when you don't get to take any shots, you better get something else. So I worked awfully hard on it. Took great pride in it, man. I know you did too. And guarding the other team's best player and doing those types of things. And there were a lot of good players. I mean, you look back in the old, people don't understand how good the North Central Conference was. Had Morningside right there in Iowa and Nebraska, Omaha. Man, was it good back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, just looking back on that time at South Dakota, and obviously, you know, as a player, we talked about all the time that there are just, you know, you don't realize the time and the effort and stuff like that that goes into coaching when you're a player. What are a couple things that maybe you learned from the coaching staff? I guess any of your years up there that you really brought with you when you started coaching?
Well, my dad was really hard on me, and I didn't like him much until after I graduated and realized how important having him as my dad was for my development. But I did see how hard he worked. And my college coach, I told you, our first 2 years, we weren't very good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how hard the coaches worked. Good guys, again, but I don't know how hard they worked. And then when Coach Boots and John Lembeseter came in there and that program turned around, I saw how hard they worked. And, again, I had a great relationship with the assistant coach, Coach Lem. Boots was kind of like my dad, you know, just tough on you, and you had to really work. And it was all about the right stuff, doing things – stuff right off the floor, getting your great education. But I tell you what, you came to practice, it was time to get after at work, and we were competitive and got after other teams, and that's how we got it going.
Awesome. Well, when did obviously we know your path here, but when did the coaching bug hit you? Was it always kind of there? Was it I'm gonna be a coach?
Yeah, I really didn't have even to this day. I'm getting better now that I haven't been employed for 6 months, but I really didn't have many other interests. The only thing I ever really thought about doing, because I got my master's in counseling, whether it be being a counselor or doing something, I always thought Secret Service or FBI or something like that. But it was really always just being a coach. And Adam, I hit every step. I think you'll probably ask me about that. I mean, I never dreamed of getting where I got or becoming what we did, but always wanted to be a college basketball coach, and I didn't skip a step.
Well, let's talk through some of those steps. You mentioned, so obviously you wrap up in South Dakota, and the natural transition is to the GA position. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, hey, I had to bust my butt. You know, I'd never worked too hard academic. I was a 3-pointer, lower 3.0. I was doing okay, but I got my master's in counseling, and I really kicked it in gear there. I worked really hard at it. was a good student at, and I think I was 3.75 and passed my boards on the first time. But I was also coaching at division, and at Division II, the GAs do everything. So I was doing everything as a coach, full-time student. And I went from GA to volunteer after because I got my master's, and I didn't really find a job that I'd like, and Coach Boots wanted me to stay. So I stayed there, volunteered for a year, got a head high school coach, went to Indiana State as a restricted earnings coach for $12,000 a year. Went from third assistant to second assistant. I got lucky enough, Missouri State, Steve Alford and his dad were in the conference with Indiana State, got to know them real well, and got lucky enough to go to Iowa, then back to Indiana State, where I spent the last 17 total, but 11 as a head coach. So I didn't skip a step. You know, I didn't, my last name wasn't Alford or a McCaffrey or something like that. I didn't skip a step on the way up, and just very, very fortunate to have worked at two places that mean so much, at Indiana State and the University of Iowa.
Yeah, which we want to get into some of those stories, but before we get there, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about this Roosevelt position. So how do you go from being up college staff? What was it about the high school game that you said, you know what, let's go down there and give this a try?
I didn't skip a step, but I forgot that one on the way when I was listening there. But well, remember Coach Hallahan at Iowa State?
Yeah,
I was at. I was a GA, and I had a chance to go to full-time to Mankato State, which is now Minnesota State. But I applied for Dubuque Hempstead and Des Moines Roosevelt. And I got offered those jobs, and I talked to Coach Hallahan. He said, be a head coach. He said, you'll never regret being a head coach. And I took that, and, man, I love Des Moines. I still – my family lives in Waukee. So that was two of the best years of my life. Had some really good basketball players. Nate Green, for one, who's an NBA official now, but he played for us at Indiana State and turned that program around, got it going. And I'll never regret that, because that was two wonderful years.
Yeah, you can learn a lot no matter what level it is from being a head coach. You know, just being able to call some of the plays and some of the stuff that when you're sitting in the second chair, you don't have to worry quite as much about. And so it definitely makes you prepare, and if nothing else, appreciate what those guys are doing for you.
Well, and you know, it does, you know, and I've, of course, grown up as a coach's kid, I always hung out with the assistants, so I always appreciated that. But I also found out that Roosevelt is, none of them guys wanted to win as bad as I did, you know, so it was a little different. You know, that's one thing Adam asked about, the difference between that high school kid compared to that college kid. It amps up in how bad you want to win. You know, those kids that, and this wasn't social media era, you know, we'd lose or win and they'd be out the door talking to their girls or going and doing whatever, you know, whatever their social plan was. But you live and die with it. You know, I grew up living and dying with it, so it was always a little different for me.
Well, and the coaching's so different because you can't recruit the kids that you come to fit your system. Yeah. You got to change your system to fit the kids that you have. And so the level of coaching and mix matching, it's you wear a lot of hats at that level.
And I was used to it because my dad always had to do that. So it was, you know, it was pretty cool in Des Moines, the type of atmosphere and within that school. I really enjoyed it.
So then once you got the opportunity to go back to the college level, was it an easy transition and an easy yes for you? Or was it something where you're like, I love Des Moines, but this has always been my dream and my goal is to be at the college
level? It was an absolute no-brainer for me. You know, this is before the AU stuff. So it was just starting, and I had taken Nate Green and a few of my guys down to this one of these recruiting camps. And I saw a guy that actually worked at Mankato State who was now at Indiana State. He saw me and he said, hey, why don't you get into college coaching? I said, I want to, you know, and he goes, well, we might have a spot. Well, I don't know if you guys remember, anybody remembers the restricted earnings position. That's what it was. So I went from Des Moines Roosevelt making of about 50, going over to Terre Haute and making about 12 grand for the entire year. And But you still had the full, you still had the typical job, but they restricted your earnings. So it was crazy. And I'm just very thankful that the other two assistants there took such great care of me, because I could barely pay my rent. And that was it. You know, I started right there at Indiana State. I loved every minute of it. I didn't hesitate when I had the opportunity to do it, and never looked back.
And so then in that first stop, how many years were you at Indiana State before going to Iowa?
I was there for four.
Okay.
There for four. And then actually went from restricted earnings. A new coach came in, and I was there with him for a couple years, because Nate Green was playing with us. My ex-wife's brother was playing for us, and I recruited him. And then I just remember being on the road all the time. This is, you know, I'm a Hawkeye. I'm a big Hawk fan, so always be a Hawk. Tom Davis was in his lame duck year, and Steve Alford was a name that was mentioned. And every time I saw him, he talked about it. And who do you know over there? What do you think? Would you be interested in coming? So that just happened. I tell you what, that was seven great years.
And quite the ride there too, obviously, that you guys went on, and teams that, especially, you know, around Adam and I's age, that we all vividly remember, because those are teams that we were watching.
And Panthers got us too. I mean, went in there and the Panthers got us. So Drake, I mean, you know, those games, you know, you hardly play those games anymore.
You're right there with us on the pod. We're very disappointed at the, not only the home and homes, love the home and homes, but even the Big Four Classic, and being able to see some of these teams in our great state, especially with the level of basketball that where Drake and you and I are at right now too. It's too bad.
Well, nobody wants to play either of those teams.
I know.
Believe me, I understand, but I think it's a joke. People don't play it. Like when I was at Indiana State, we played at IU, actually beat them in Archie Miller's first game there. We won at Notre Dame when they were ranked, and lost a close one there. Played at Purdue numerous times. So I always have such a high respect for those guys, because they don't have to play those games. But I think you should. It's good. It's good for the state.
Well, and I think with basketball, it's so different than football in that, you know, one loss is not going to upset the basket. I mean, you still got to go out and you win your games, win your tournament, whatever it is. And so an early season loss to a team that maybe you quote unquote shouldn't isn't going to sink the ship. So let's play them. Let's have some fun. That's what it's about.
But again, I get it. You know, it's a lose-lose for Iowa State, because they're supposed to win. And if they don't win by enough, you know, that's not good enough. And if they happen to get beat, which is, if you play Northern Iowa and Drake, you sure can get beat. Doesn't matter who they are, who they're playing, but it's different. And I understand it.
No. So it's we get it too, but so part of this journey at Iowa, we got to talk a little bit, speaking of conference tournaments, that conference tournament run that you guys went on, that would have been 2001. What do you remember? Obviously you have many fond memories of your time at Iowa, but what do you remember about that 01 season?
Yeah, we won a Big Ten tournament with Brody Boyd as our two guard.
I love
and Dean
too,
Oliver back there. I mean, and you know, you have somebody like Reggie Evans that carries you. I just remember going in there, and I kind of had, like, Brian Jones and I, who's at Illinois State now and probably the best guy I ever worked with. We had every scout, and we stayed at the Intercontinental right on Michigan Avenue. You know, you're in those conference tournaments. You guys know about this stuff. You win one, the guys get to go chill and rest. And the coach, you're just watching film. And we were up all night, every night, for four games in four nights, and happened to win it on fumes. You know, and I never felt tired, because you're just flying on adrenaline. And what a feeling. I remember going into the locker room right before the final against Indiana. And I saw the picture from the previous year, and it had the t-shirt that, you know, you always get the t-shirt and hats after you win a championship. I said, I told Coach Alford, that's all I want right there. I want that t-shirt. And to raise that thing up after the game, oh, kind of chokes me up. That was pretty cool.
Well, and such a neat run. And then obviously the way that it happened in the championship game, beating Indiana too. But as I look back, this cast of characters that you guys had, you mentioned obviously Dino was senior that year, Brody Boyd, Duez, Luke, Reggie, Sean Gelider. I mean, you guys, this crew of guys as I go through, especially for Iowa people. I was also a big fan of Jason Smith too, also on that roster. But what a neat collection of guys. And then, like you said, to be able to put on that run and win four in a row, and
yeah,
had to have just been one that you'll always remember.
There's no question. I remember you going to those games in those big cities, and it's police escort to every game, and every game the media amps up who's interviewing you before and who's around. So it was just so cool. And you mentioned Jason Smith. He's actually a lawyer down in Vegas right now. I just came back to Bettendorf. We lost his dad, Dave, a little while back. He lost his battle to cancer. But that was one thing about Iowa. We always played guys like that at the end of the year and helped us win. And Jason Smith was as good a teammate as I've ever been around, and a great guy. But I tell you what, you put Dean Dino, who's going to be a legend there, always in Iowa, and then Reggie Evans, just those guys, they could win some games for you.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then NCAA tournament, obviously beat a good Creighton team, and then ended up getting clipped by Kentucky, right, to finish out that season.
Yeah, if you believe it, Kyle Korver was 1-for-13 in that game. And I don't think he's probably ever done something like that again in his life. And so happy for the career that he's had, but knocked them off and fought Kentucky. I didn't think we played particularly well. I remember old Tayshaun Prince kind of got us there. That was an overachieving team we had at Iowa, but it was a great start to Alford's era there.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. And so, so then how did the transition happen from there? So you had obviously with coach there at Iowa for 7 years, and then back to Indiana State, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was wasn't a road assistant at Iowa right away, but I was heavily involved. I was kind of Coach Alford's guy there for a while. And then when it started getting into that, you know, you have the social medias and the websites and this and that, it was really hard on Sam Alford when there were some tough times for us, you know, going through some of the things we went through there, and kind of drove him out of it. But then I got into the one of the road spots and the top spots, and to be able to get a Jeff Horner and a Greg Bruner and have, you know, win as many games as we did with those guys and have the success that we did. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And then Coach Alford brought in Craig Neal and kind of took over his top guy. And he and I weren't, I'd been there a long time, and I wasn't someone he wanted on the staff. Let's just put it that way. So got let go after my seventh year, actually after winning the tournament and finishing second, being a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. And I went back over to Indiana State. I was awfully fortunate. Looked at Central Florida with Coach Sparaw, who's now at Iowa, and a couple of different things. But to get the chance to go back to Indiana State, I was very excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's got to be something that, as it plays out, as we keep moving forward, something that a place that you definitely hold near and dear to your heart. But before I can transition to the Sycamore, so your last game in Iowa was the NCAA game?
Don't say it. Northwestern State.
Yeah. Northwestern, yeah.
Northwestern State. And we had such a good draw there, because we'd have beat West Virginia in that second round and been in the Sweet 16. And Brew was killing them. We were up 17 in the second half. Something went a little wrong in one of our huddles, and it affected Brew and Doug Thomas a little bit. And we just kind of didn't hang on very good. And I'll remember, we're up 2, and it's a loose ball basically going out of bounds, and their guy picks it up and throws it up, and I knew it was going in. I just started walking to shake hands with those guys. So it was a crushing loss for a team that probably deserved better. Cause I mean, we got finished second in Maui, won the tournament, just had a lot of tough road wins, and played Illinois like crazy. And in those two games with them, the year they were in the final, and lots to remember by that year.
Yeah, that was that was a game for probably all the wrong reasons that will forever stick in the minds of Hawks fans. I know I was a junior at Wartburg at that time, and all of our whole team skipped class that day to stay home and watch that game, and inbound to the corner, good friends with Horner, that's my guy, but gets kind of spun around and the dude lets it go, and yeah, just absolutely just crushed us, that's for sure.
You know, it was right there too. I always, Haluska, the ball was kind of right there in a loose ball, and you know, in a game saving play, I'm sure all of us, if we'd had that back, just to win dive and just to get it or hit it, you know, or anything like that. But just it makes me sick to think about it. Oh, so
man,
that was a tough one.
Oh, that's a tough pill to swallow. That's your last game in the black and gold too. You're like, come on. So maybe somewhere down the road you will be able to change that. So then move out to Indiana State. You talked a little bit about that transition. So what was the actual position? Were you one of the top assistants or how did that all come about?
Yeah, you know, the way Coach Waltman did it, really, you had three assistants. Nobody was really the top guy or anything like that. But I had recruited the team that they went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Nate Green was on the one, and I'd mentioned my ex-brother-in-law and some of the guys that I helped build the team took off, and they went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. And so I came back, and Coach Waltman was excited about it. And they had some lean years those next 5 years, and try to help him get it going again and save his job. And it was a pleasure and honor to work for that guy, and couldn't quite get it done. We weren't good enough to get it done. And I think about Coach a lot because he has since passed with bladder cancer, but he hired me once when he didn't have to. And then he kind of saved me after I got let go at Iowa. So I owed that guy a lot. And I knew going back there, and the reason why I went back there was that was probably the one spot where I could get the head coaching job. You know, again, I wasn't a great college player. I didn't have a name, but I thought that was the one chance I'd have. And just very, very fortunate and blessed to it all worked out that way.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. Obviously, eventually transitioning associate head coach and then ultimately the head coach out there at Indiana State. Taking all these years of experience, growing up as a coach's kid, seeing all levels, there's still got to be a massive hurdle taking that step up to the first chair. What do you remember about transitioning and ultimately being the head and calling the shots?
Well, it was crazy because Kevin McKenna was the head coach, and he came from Creighton, great player. Creighton played in the NBA. Now a great assistant at Oregon for Coach Altman. And he said, I need to see you in the office. And I'm like, what? It was on a Sunday. And I'm like, we got camp starting next week. I'm like, I'm either getting fired or I'm getting a job. You know, my mom was there, had my nephew there because he was coming to camp. And I went in there and he just told me, he goes, I'm going to Oregon. And I told the AD, the current AD, I felt if he left, I'd get the job anyway, because he and I both interviewed the previous time and we were the two finalists. And I stayed on as associate head coach, but when he was leaving, I knew I'd get the job, and I did. And it was such a crazy thing. I wasn't thinking about it. Nobody was thinking about it. And the whirlwind that happens after that to go to having your press conference. I remember my mom was there and I called Dad and I'm like, hey Dad, what are you doing tomorrow? And, oh, nothing, just going to go golf or do whatever. And I say, well, I'm going to buy a plane ticket. You got to come over here. And he said, what for? He goes, I'm not coming over there. I said, well, we're going to have a press conference. So I'm going to be the head coach at Indiana State. And he goes, well, okay, yeah, I'll be there. So it was really cool. And in a community that I love, and I'd already given a lot for to help build a program and build a team with a bunch of young guys that I recruited. And then, look what happens, first year NCAA tournament with those guys. So, again, the stuff doesn't happen very often the way it happened for me. You got to have some good fortune. You got to have some good luck. I've tried to work my tail off and be a good person and do a good job my whole time so I could keep advancing in my career. But to be able to be a head coach in the in Division I for 11 years is not everybody gets to do that.
No, it that is an experience that well deserved and well worth it. And so, yeah, you mentioned in your first year, you go out and win a Tough Valley. I mean, how is this something that you're able to string together? Obviously, you and your staff worked your tails off, but at what point during that season did it kind of start to click and be like, you know what, we got this, we got things going here.
Yeah, you know, that's still, people forget. When I was first started in the conference, Creighton and Wichita were still in there for a couple of years. So we had a lot of good battles with both of those teams. And Doug McDermott there when he was at Creighton, we were playing for his dad, and Wichita's Final Four teams. It's pretty crazy. But we just had we had a freshman point guard named Jake Odom, he'll be a Missouri Valley Hall of Famer here. Certainly get his jersey put in the rafters at Indiana State when he's eligible for it. And just an unbelievably well-balanced team with tremendous chemistry. I think we won our last eight. Lou Godino is my associate head coach. Absolutely couldn't have done it without him. He's at Wichita now, but it was just, we kept working, kept grinding, and kept getting better. Good things happen. I think we beat Wichita in the semi and then beat Konzo Martin when he was at Missouri State. They were the conference regular season champion, beat them in the final, and then I got to go play in the queue, old LeBron's old place in Cleveland, against Syracuse in the first round.
Man, that's so then once you guys once you did qualify, obviously you went in and getting to go to the NCAA tournament, any phone calls or any texts or any weird emails or surprise you that you can remember once you guys qualified for the NCAA tournament?
You can ask any coach. I mean, you know, you always get more texts after wins, but those your true people are the ones that get you after tough losses. But we won the conference tournament, and, you know, you're doing all the media and it's just nonstop, and you're in the locker room with the guys. And one thing I will say, the reason why I just kept doing what I was doing is in coaching, is going into those locker rooms and you guys have been in those locker rooms, seeing your guys celebrate big wins and knowing that all the hard work that they've gone through really paid off. So that's when what always kept me going in it. But I remember I didn't ride the bus on the way back because we had media, so the whole time. So it was back to back to back. I had all these calls. So Lou Godino was driving. Our wives were in the back seat. And I, for 2.5 hours, I was on the phone with doing interviews because, you know, the Valley tournament is a weekend earlier. So you got all the attention. So we punched our ticket first. And it was just so crazy. We did that. And all the way back, I did it. And then we went to the Holman Center to get our welcome in front of, I think it was 3,000 fans. And it was just pretty special time.
So did Larry Legend ever reach out to you guys and say anything?
You know, he spoke to my teams before. He helped us, did what he could do as far as we recruiting. And he couldn't do anything recruiting, but in interviews about me and our staff and our program, he was unbelievable, you know, and he was very busy with the Pacers still. And I always greatly appreciated him going out of his way to be good to me. And his Brad Miley, the center from that team, lives in Terre Haute, is a dear friend to this day. And Carl Nix, who is their point guard, is a dear friend to this day. A lot of those guys were still around. It's so cool, you know, you're in town in Terre Haute. 3 or 4 of those guys are still in town, and Carl and Larry are right up the road, and those guys are legends. I mean, every time I would see him, I'd get goosebumps. So he was a tremendous help to us. And shooting Terre Haute, people think that is, they talk about those teams like it would happen last year, you know, and obviously very, very well deserved for them to do what they did as a mid-major.
Yeah, no, that's neat. And like you said, really nice to have someone like that, obviously as an alum, but a supporter of the program and what you're doing, it just makes everything just a little bit easier. And so overall, like you said, had a really great run, won a ton of basketball games. Like you said, that NCAA tournament run, two NITs, even just to well-round yourself, got one CIT in there at your time at Indiana State. And so looking back at the time, I know the easy answer is going to be the relationships that you formed, but maybe give us the second thing that you're going to remember the most about getting the opportunity to coach at Indiana State.
Again, I don't want to say necessarily it's the relationships, but it is the relationships, because, when I'd go in and recruit, we'd go in as a staff and recruit it, we always told them I'm family for them outside the lines too. You know, I want to know, I want to be involved in all aspects of their life, their families, what's going on, their academics. I want them to shoot me pictures of their kids in 20 years, and stuff like that. And I get texts and calls, and still have great relationships with former staff, former players, and that's going to be for forever. And going into Terre Haute, they hadn't had a lot of success before that. You mentioned that the NCAA two NITs, and there's been five postseasons basically it's actually seven because they're previously at a lower level, but there wasn't a lot of postseason success in those teams. And I'm second in the all-time wins. I'm one behind Dwayne Clee, which is probably perfect because he deserves to be first. And I'm one of 10, 11 coaches to ever coach in the Valley with 100 wins. So you take a lot of when you have time to reflect, you look back on those things. I wanted to stay. It didn't end the way I wanted to. And I think we were going to have a NCAA caliber team this year if they'd extended me and kept the team around. But I had a great run. I had a great run, and I got no regrets. And it's prepared me very well for whatever's next.
Well, it's starting to make a little more sense now that I didn't know that you were only one win behind. That's probably why they said, "All right, we got to bring in some fresh meat here because we can't have that."
The people at love Terre Haute. We still have great friends there, and we always will. Again, it'll always be home, and that's one thing you miss when I wasn't extended. You miss the people and the relationships of not just your players and your staff, and Mitch Hannes, the baseball coach, Coach Mallory, the football coach, Greg Town, the women's golf coach. You know, you miss those guys because they're your family and they're the people you're around every day. But so is the community. I'd be kidding if I didn't say it was pretty cool walking around town and basically everybody you saw said, "Hey, coach." You know, that's a pretty good feeling to have, and miss that a little bit. But see, maybe sometime I'll get that back. If not, again, no regrets.
Well, good. Here before we jump into rapid fire, I got one more. Since you've had the abilities to be kind of all over and experience everything in this coaching world of basketball, we got a senior out there that's finishing up his last year in college and thinks he wants to get into coaching.
Him back here.
I thought I heard a ball bouncing. You're in the right place. What advice are you going to give them? What would you say? Hey, if you're about ready to take on this coaching monster, here's maybe one or two pieces of advice before you get started.
One, keep your head where your ass is at. You know, don't, I think there's a lot of times in the college or even professionally that you're always looking for the next job. Do the job you have and do it to the best of your ability. And if you're going to take a job, be prepared that may be where you end your coaching career. That may be the last coaching job you ever have. So you don't want to take something. It's just a stepping stone for something else. Now, those two things are probably the biggest things, and that maybe steer them towards another profession. I don't know. Whether they're coaching.
Well, maybe all good advice. All good advice. Well, Coach, we like to end our episodes here with a little section, as Brian mentioned, called Rapid Fire. He's going to ask you a couple questions, some about hoops, some not. And you just let us know what comes to the top of your head.
All right. I'll see how quick a thinker I am. I used to be better at this, but I've had a little downtime.
No, we'll get you back going here. All right, first one we always start with, and you've been all over here. So what was your favorite visiting gym or arena you had an opportunity to coach or play in?
I mean, there's a ton of them. There's absolutely a ton of them, but I loved going and playing at Hilton Coliseum against the Cyclones. It'd be, you know, that's why I went a head coach then, but was that place loud? Obviously the Iowa State games, but Hilton, there's something about that place when it gets going, that floor would shake, especially against an Iowa team. But that's obviously one of the best ever.
That's a good one. Yeah, even as a Hawk fan, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, you know, well, I like TJ and those guys there now, so I don't want to. I'm still a Hawk, but we'll give them a little credit.
Absolutely. All right, favorite golf course in Iowa?
Probably Wakanda. Back in the day, you know, I probably should say, now I can't even think of the name of the one in Iowa City, because I didn't play that much when I was in Des Moines, but played a little bit when I worked for Alford because he liked to golf.
Yep. I didn't know. I was going to say, I didn't know if you're going to throw out Finkbine.
Finkbine. Let's say Finkbine. So then we'll keep those people happy. And
keep,
I was keep
them happy.
There you go. Good idea.
I don't know a lot about the Western side, but maybe there was a Harlan, someone then over there too, that was near and dear to your heart. But
there's some goat tracks out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, Adam and I have a crystal ball, and then we can take and put you anywhere in the country. What staff right now do you admire that you would like to go and join if we could sign you up for any coaching staff in the country?
That is too hard to even say, because you know I have dear friends. I talked about Ben Jacobson and Darren DeVries and Porter Mosiers now at Oklahoma. I'm going to say this, it's because of where I currently live. Being on staff at Arizona or Arizona State would probably be pretty cool for me.
Hey, you got to take everything into account. I mean,
not to slight Cedar Falls, Des Moines, or Norman, Oklahoma, or anything like that, or some of my guys, but that's probably the choices I'd make.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not saying no to anybody, just saying, hey, here's the deal. So,
<You're> right.
favorite sports movie?
Hoosiers. And I can't wait to see it with the new extended scenes. Can't wait. If it's on TV, I'll watch.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's almost impossible. And then obviously spending as much time in Indiana as you did, that becomes a no-brainer. This one I'm interested in here. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
Good answer. I mean, we're
Michael Jordan. Yeah. I love LeBron and all that stuff, but no, there's never been another Mike, and there never will be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We tend to agree with you 100% on that. So, if Adam and I get an opportunity to come out, I know you've only been there, what'd you say, a few short 6 months, but Adam and I get an opportunity to come out Scottsdale and play a little golf. Where's the best place to eat when we come out there?
We, Christy and I, are big time foodies, and there are so many wonderful. She's a vegetarian, and we're kind of health food nuts. So there's a lot of clean living, a lot of good places to eat. I'm still really look. I was a big happy hour guy in Terre Haute. I need to find some good happy hour spots. They take it a little differently here. The happy hour means more like getting a cheaper dinner. I'm talking about happy hours with some of your buddies and talking sports, but. We're going to go to Isabella's right here at Greyhawk with some friends on Wednesday. So that I'd take you there because you get to sit out in the open and you see the golfers come in. We had actually Charles Barkley was just running through there the other day. So we'll take you to Isabella's.
Isabella's. I like it. Adam, make sure that makes the list. So.
Yep.
You guys would love it.
We'll call up Sir Charles too to meet us there. Maybe.
We could talk shop with Chuck and see what the deal is, but all right, Coach, last one we'll get you out of here on. What does it mean to you if you or one of your players has the shooter's touch?
Well, I mean, it doesn't come easy. You know, it boils down to how hard you're willing to work at it, repetition. I know your buddy right there was a very, very good shooter. I don't know if I can call him a great shooter. He was very, very good shooter and made a lot of big shots, but it's a tireless work ethic and somebody that when they miss, you're surprised.
Well, we like that. And even more than that, we like you taking some time and chatting with us today, Coach. We wish you the best of luck here as you can continue to enjoy your much deserved relaxing and figuring out what's next. And we'll be excited for whatever that chapter brings, but we appreciate you taking some time with us today.
Hey guys, a pleasure being on with you. Take care of yourselves and let's talk soon.
Yep. Like Brian said, thanks, Coach. Great reconnecting with you after so many years.
Yeah.
But happy to hear you're doing great. And again, we really appreciate your time and we will definitely talk soon.
Thank you for reaching out and all the best.